good food, good meat, good God, let's listen to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that never wears a safety helmet. And now, direct from his fortress of solitude in Cave Creek, Arizona, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I swear I'll never get tired of saying that. This is such a fun thing for us to do, and hopefully it's a fun thing for you, the growing audience, to share with us. We are sitting 1,800 miles apart, so that's massive social distancing. Randy and I are not anywhere near each other where we can spread germs. The downside of that is we also cannot share beer, so we each have to have our own supply. And I want to say thank you very much to our announcer, professional Canadian show host, Drew McMillan, who is my nephew. He is the host of a Canadian show all about powerboats, and we Yanks can watch powerboattv.com to see Drew in all of his glory hosting the show about boating in Canada. Powerboats and the accoutrements that all powerboat owners either have or would like to have. So, what are we doing today? We are doing a little desk cleaning, and I sent a show note to Randy saying it's desk cleaning day because I probably am going to have to move, at least that's what I'm told, out of our Illinois house. It's been for sale for 4 years. The price has been cut in half, and it looks like from their increasing showings, their increasing requests to visit, during which we have to make the house look like nobody lives here and vacate the premises for hours, they seem to be even more and more excited about purchasing the house. And in the last evacuation that we had, the spousal unit and I went over to a local steakhouse, and I had a tooth come out while I was eating my steak dinner. So Randy now gets to stare at a giant gap in my face, and I've had to apologize. He has told me it wasn't a problem for him, but seeing the look on his face, it seems like he's having difficulty adjusting to the new Doug Jones that he sees. So welcome to Randy Carson, engineer and spiritual guru.
Oh, my gosh. That's... I don't know what to say about that, Doug. You know, I looked at you this morning when we first signed in, and I'm going, wow, there's something different about Doug's face. What is it?
You know, I'm a Southerner by birth and breeding, and I grew up with a bunch of storytellers. And as any listener to this podcast knows, I cannot resist telling or listening to a good story. Randy is full of his own share of stories. But I have to say that when I was a little kid, we had a maid from Scotland named Margaret Duncan, and she was as Scottish could be, wore a white uniform every day. Everything she did was meticulously perfect, and she probably was in her 40s. I'm thinking now. I mean, when I was a little kid, she looked really old, but I bet she was in her 40s, late 40s, and I'm sure that she had visited an English dentist once in her life, because she had the typical UK dentistry, which was a full set of choppers, you know, uppers and lowers. And I had no way of knowing this. They were pretty well designed. But one day she got the flu, and she threw up and flushed the toilet, and then realized that her dentures had gone down the drain.
Oh, my God. I knew where that was going.
Oh, you did. You did. You were kind of cringing. So Margaret Duncan performed her duties the next few days with a napkin over her mouth. She spoke to us with a napkin over her mouth. She answered the door with a napkin over her mouth. She cooked with a napkin over her mouth. And she even answered the phone with a napkin over her mouth. But the reason that she wasn't too horribly panicked was my father was able to explain to her that because we lived out in the country, we had a septic tank, and we were able to hire a company to come and pump out the septic tank, and then God knows how much extra they had to be paid for this, but they filtered the contents of the septic tank until they found Margaret Duncan's dentures. Oh, now, I know. Go ahead.
I don't know whether. Oh, my God. I don't know what. I'm sure she was happy about that. But on the other hand, when you wake up every morning or you go to bed every night and your teeth are in a cup, do you really want to think about where they were the day before?
Well, let's assume that your employer has promised you that they would be sent off to the finest lab in the United States of America and sterilized with the best of care, and then returned with fewer germs and bacteria on them than they had when they were manufactured, that they would be guaranteed to be as sanitary as it was possible to make anything. How would you feel then? Would you feel pretty good about it?
I'd have to buy that, I guess.
All right. Well, that was the story she was told. I have my suspicions.
There was you said that was the story she was told.
That's the story she went with. I would venture to guess, knowing my father the way I do, that they wound up being rinsed under a sink, dried off, put into an envelope with a bogus return address. You know, we have several national laboratories in the Chicago area, and I'm sure one of those was used as an address, a return address on the envelope, and eventually her rinsed off dentures showed up in the mail, and she popped them in and never looked back.
Oh my gosh, that's a great story. I have a similar story, but it's not quite that funny.
Is it germy at all? Am I going to cringe?
Well, yeah, it's germy. Not quite that germy, but it's germy. Another true story, Doug. A neighbor of ours back in the old country, spring field work. He was out plowing his fields, preparing for corn. What else would you prepare for in Iowa, right?
Beans.
Beans and corn. Yeah. So he's plowing along, singing a song, and he sneezes and blows his false teeth out and plows them under.
Oh, boy. Oh.
So he's out there digging through the plowed field for many, many hours, never did find the teeth.
Oh, no kidding?
And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this could have been added to the story after the fact, but I think he found him the next spring.
Oh, okay. So the freeze-thaw cycle might have pushed him up higher.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was a big risk that future passages through the field would destroy them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you chisel, plow, and then you disc, and then you plant.
Then you harrow.
And then, I don't know.
You harrow.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You probably know the steps better than I do, but it involves a lot of driving around in that field. And those teeth aren't going to get any closer to the surface while you're doing that, I wouldn't think.
No, it was a sad state of affairs because I don't believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that there was any replacement teeth to be had for the next year.
Oh, come on now. All of your uncles could have gotten together.
Well, there's that. But he had heard about their reputation preceded them. And he didn't want to go in for that, we're going to pull all your teeth out and here's a bottle of whiskey process.
Well, that's true. That's true. His teeth were already gone, so they weren't going to waste any whiskey on him.
Well, no. At that point, you're there and that's all you're going to get. Here's a strip of leather to chew on if you need something.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, we promised early in the summer to get after it sooner in the episodes than we have, but this is kind of like desk cleaning day. And so I'm not sure that we have good, solid, factual information about Medicare, but the first thing I want to talk about today, since we promised to get to the business at hand earlier in the episode, is a message that I received from a listener, one of our first listeners who ever allowed us to use his name. His name is Dominic Regina. And we celebrated his birthday here, if I recall correctly. We had cocktails and noisemakers and party hats and balloons on his birthday a couple of months ago. I can't promise that that celebration will happen every year because, frankly, my calendar is not a multi-year calendar, so I'm likely to forget about his birthday in future years. But he has been a faithful listener, and Mr. Regina sent us a congratulatory message thanking us or celebrating our 100th episode. And you might recall that when episode 100 came around a few episodes ago, Randy and I patted ourselves on the back because we can't reach each other's backs because we're 1,800 miles apart. So I patted myself on the back, he patted himself on the back, and then we moved on because we realized he and I are about the only ones that care how many episodes we've ever done. But Mr. Regina also joined in the celebration. So thank you, Dominic. I really do appreciate it. It's very nice. Now, in addition to that, he said, you've got Mike and you've got Steve dueling over the questions that they submit. And he said, I want to keep myself in the running with Mike and Steve. So I thought I would ask a question. His question is, once my wife retires and I'm no longer covered under her employer insurance plan, I will file for Medicare coverage. I already have Part A, and I plan to go with a high deductible Plan G for my supplemental coverage. Since I am not taking any medications or drugs, do I still need a Part D plan? If I elect not to get Part D, I assume that I would need to wait for the next OEP, which basically is outdated terminology. It's not open enrollment period anymore. They call it annual election period, but the idea is the same. He would have to wait for the next election period at the end of a given year in order to apply for a drug plan. His risk, therefore, he asks, would my risk therefore be that I would need to pay out of pocket for any medications I needed until I enroll in a PDP? Do I have that correct? Thanks in advance, and once again, congratulations on number 100. So I answered him very succinctly. I said, thank you very much, Dominic. To answer your question, delaying the purchase of a PDP or prescription drug plan will also subject you to the risk of a late enrollment penalty. That calculation is roughly 35 cents times the number of months since you first became eligible. It seems inconsequential at the outset, but it will grow to a substantial amount within a few years without you even thinking about it. And in the book, I had some examples because this penalty goes the rest of your life. So if you skip the first year and then finally get a PDP the first year after you're eligible, that would be 35 cents times 12, which I think is like $4. If you wait 2 years and then get a PDP plan, you're, like $8 and change, and that's going to be a monthly lifetime penalty. If you wait for 3 years after your eligibility date, it's likely going to be $12.50 or thereabouts, and you'll be paying that $12.50 every month the rest of the time that you have a prescription drug plan. Now, the penalty won't kick in automatically. They don't penalize you until you get a plan. That is your price for the late enrollment. So at some point, there's a break even. I mean, we can't all see into the future. I typically advise my clients, since the least expensive drug plan this year costs $13 and change, and next year it's going to go up about $1.50 to $14.70, it's kind of prudent, unless you're completely flat broke, it's kind of prudent to go ahead and get a prescription drug plan, even though you don't need it. Even though you don't take any prescription drug plans, prescription drugs, if you get a prescription drug plan when you're eligible, then you will not have to pay a lifetime late enrollment penalty that will be assessed to you when you eventually do get a prescription drug plan. And, you know, there's always the chance that you never will take any prescription drugs and you'll die a healthy, happy guy like my father who just, you know, keeled over in the yard with a rake in his hand. I don't know that he took any medication at all. But your situation may also turn out to be one in which you are gradually prescribed medications that are developed that help, like statin drug. They don't do anything to fix you. They mostly help to prevent, to ward off problems in the future. And I know a lot of my clients take statin drugs. I take statin drugs. My wife does not take statin drugs. Why is that? Because for her, they have the effect of lowering her IQ. She even admits, I told her, hey, you seem a little weirded out. Yeah, well, you know, I'm trying to discover what color the sky is today. And she's looking out the window for no particular reason. And she'll admit to you on the statin drugs, she has problems collecting her thoughts. So she doesn't take statin drugs anymore. And then that allows her to concentrate on supervising my activities. So anyway, that's the reminder about the importance of taking a prescription drug plan when you're first eligible, rather than rolling the dice and waiting until you get one in the future, at which time you'll probably have to pay a lifetime late enrollment penalty. So as long as I'm rolling along here, Randy hasn't stopped me. He knows I love to talk, so he often has to interrupt me. I see him waving his hands in the screen. How much time do we have?
We have 4 minutes and 6 seconds.
I used to think that 4 minutes wasn't very long, but I've found that in the world of podcasting, it can be a lifetime.
It can be a lifetime.
So in desk cleaning day, I have another little item here I wanted to talk about. It is ANOC, which is spelled A-N-O-C. Those of you who have a PDP, a prescription drug plan already, or if you have a Medicare Advantage plan, which often comes with a prescription drug plan, but an ANOC applies either to prescription drug plans and or Medicare Advantage plans, which you sometimes call MAPD, Medicare Advantage with prescription drugs. ANOC, annual notice of change. Now, when I tell people that they might become unhappy with their Medicare Advantage plan because it doesn't cost them anything and they barely ever go to a doctor and they don't care if they have to go see a doctor they've never seen before, they don't have a favorite doctor and on and on and on, I tell them, well, just wait until you get your ANOC every year at the end of the year. This is a 16-page booklet. Some of those pages say intentionally left blank at the end. So it's like a prospectus, like a stock prospectus. But it's a fairly substantial publication. I don't know how many trees they had to kill to send one of these to everybody that's got a prescription drug plan in America. But for our plan, our drug plan, the Jones household, this has a list of all the changes they are planning that start in January of 2021. And the point of this publication is to allow me to determine whether I want to stay with this plan or look around for something that might be better. For instance, my drug plan is going up from an annual or a monthly cost of $13.20 to a monthly cost of $14.70 next year. Now, that's fine with me. If that were it, I would just close this publication, not even think about it. Another year, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to tell them I want to stay with them. I don't have to tell my agent that I'm going to stay with them. I'm just going to let it chug along. But the other thing that the ANOC often has that I'm too lazy, you know, remember you're listening to Medicare for the Lazy Man. I'm too lazy to spend a lot of time scribbling this, is they will have a list of the drugs that their coverage is either no longer going to cover or it is going to expand in order to cover drugs that they didn't have when I purchased this plan last year. So that means I get to plow through the 15 pages or, you know, and try to decipher the legalese, or I can just set it aside and hope that I don't discover any bad news. And I suspect. So basically, I can either read through the ANOC page by page, try to absorb what the lawyers have told them to write, or I can just set it aside, which is what I suspect almost everyone in America holding an ANOC or receiving one in the mail is going to do. If I had a fireplace, I have a fireplace, but it's gas, so I can't use it, but I would wad it up and use it to light a fire with, because frankly, it's one of the burdens of having a plan that is closely monitored by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Just like Medicare Advantage plans, their ANOCs are much, much longer, I'm quite certain, than my little PDP drug plan ANOC is. Remember, ANOC is ANOC, Annual Notice of Change. If you have a drug plan, you're going to be getting one of these. It's going to tell you the difference in the cost. It's going to tell you whether or not they're adding or subtracting drugs from their formulary. And theoretically, you're going to digest that information and decide whether or not you should look around for another plan. If you have my book, and if you follow the steps in what was Chapter 9 in the 2020 book, you can go right to the government website with your list of drugs in hand and find out whether the plan that you have is still going to be the best one for you. I would suggest doing this in November. And if you find out, because you've changed your drugs or because the formulary has changed, the plan that you have has changed out from under you, you may decide that there's a different plan that's going to be more cost effective. It'll cover all your drugs, but you won't have to pay as much money during the course of a year. Well, then you can click on a little button that says enroll now, and you can enroll in that plan. Or you can call your agent and say, hey, change me to this new drug plan. And he'll be happy to earn a commission if he is contracted with that drug plan company. But the important thing to remember is that most people are going to do what I'm going to do, which is just ignore the whole thing, maybe roll over and take another nap. So life won't come to an end, but it may be a little more pricey during the course of 2021 if your plan has done something naughty that you haven't found out about it because you did not read the ANOC. So that's a little warning about ANOCs. They actually do have a purpose, and they probably are worth paging through just to make sure. So how much time do we have left now, Randy?
We have none.
We have none, and I have a handful of things that I was going to clean off of my desk, but I guess I'm not going to be doing that. Well, I'll be adding them to the next episode.
I was going to say desk cleaning, I think, is going to have to extend into the next episode, but while you were talking and describing those various things to realize about an ANOC, the Medicare for the Lazy Man offices got a call.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Was there anybody, did it go to voicemail or was there someone?
No, I was actually able to answer it. And who it was the police out in Chicago. They said, we've been seeing this guy hanging out in the park a lot, during the afternoons and evenings, and we're wondering if you know him. And I said, well, it could be Doug, because he can't live in his house anymore.
We are evicted like vagabonds every couple of days, these people. And I'll identify the people if it comes down to a deal. But basically, we are subject to people that are not able to make a decision. And they want to come back. Can we come back again? Well, sure. That means we have to make the place look like nobody lives here and then skedaddle. So where do we skedaddle? We're a place where our livers are abused. And then I get a notification from my realtor saying, okay, the showing is over. And as my fee for handling the showing, I've collected Coca-Cola and Frango mints from your refrigerator.
Oh, my gosh.
And it used to be one Frango mint per showing, and now he's up to like three or four.
Now he's grabbing them by the handful, probably.
I think what happened last time was he passed them out to the people looking at the house. I've tried to tell him, keep them a secret.
Man, I'm telling you, those mints are too hard to come by and too expensive to be given just to anybody.
My patio refrigerator in Arizona has a lock on it, and I believe I'm going to bring the Frango mints out when I come to Arizona and lock them up so that nobody else can help themselves.
We need to probably put an armed guard on it, too.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway, I want to thank everybody for joining us for this episode of Medicare for the Lazy Man. As Dominic Regina knows, it is far beyond the 100th episode. which we should not be celebrating now because, I mean, frankly, it's just like patting ourselves on the back instead of attending to business, which is helping people get through Medicare. So, but I still appreciate the fact that he's a loyal listener and that he shares our joy at having come this far. So have we, we want to tell people to go to Amazon.com.
We do. We need to go to Amazon.com and we need to buy several books.
Right.
All of which are Doug's. We need to buy Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. We need to buy some audiobooks. We need to buy a lot of different stuff while you're there.
Kindle books.
And Kindles. Yeah, you can buy a Kindle. Or you can go to, where is it?
BarnesandNoble.com.
Barnes & Noble. We also go there and sell too. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us. We've had a blast today. As we always do, and you've been a great audience, we haven't had to shush you or send the ushers out and tap you on the head or anything like that. So thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you again next time. In the meantime, you've spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy and sole proprietor for the Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.